When in the course of human events, it becomes necessary for one people to dissolve the political bands which have connected them with another, and to assume among the powers of the earth the separate and equal station to which the laws of nature and of nature's God entitle them. A decent respect to the opinions of mankind requires that they should declare the causes which impel them to the separation. Frequently read words at this time of year, although we're perhaps more likely to hear the second sentence which follows so soon after this opening sentence in the Declaration of Independence. We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Liberty, independence, central themes to life in America. We are instilled from very early ages with these notions. Human beings are free. And most importantly, perhaps, from the governing authorities. The Declaration of Independence is clear that the government's power comes from the consent of the governed. Totalitarian systems have no place. Divine right systems have no place. Human beings are free. Free to express themselves as they choose, even if it's unpopular or distasteful. Free to worship as they choose. Each human being is the forger of his or her own destiny. Independence, liberty, freedom, watchwords for our nation. So perhaps it seems ironic that today, the day before Independence Day, we hear Jesus' words, "Take my yoke upon you." That yoke, of course, as I said in the children's sermon, it's an implement that shackles two beasts together for labor. Hardly a vision of independence. And of course, when we hear it as something that shackles and binds us, this image seems to play right into the hand of all of the critics of Christianity, or any other religion for that matter, that it exists to control and oppress people, that it refuses to allow people to think for themselves. And the word religion itself doesn't really help us here at all either, since it comes from the Latin root word ligare, which means to bind. Religion might bind us to a deity, but at the same time it binds us from our true desires, from what we want. So say the critics. Our pursuits of life, liberty, and happiness are thwarted by the presence of this yoke. After all, religious adherents don't seem all that likely to just live and let live. And there are numerous examples throughout history and today of religion being used to advance various agendas, demonizing others and even instilling horrendous violence. I wonder, is Jesus' statement here then that smoking gun that the critics of Christianity are looking for? Well, let's return for a moment to human freedom. If humans are born to be free, why do we enter into political bonds in the first place? Why do we gather into community? The political philosopher Thomas Hobbes argued that humans could, in fact, in the absence of political order and law, live in a state of unlimited freedom. Of course, this unlimited freedom would entail pillaging and plundering and unspeakable violence, as humans were free to do as they desired. And Hobbes describes this life as nasty, brutish, and short. Hobbes has a very deep reckoning of human sinfulness and brokenness. And so humans enter into political life, that is, into communities that order and bring law, because it's clear that some reduction of freedom is necessary to preserve life for all. It is, in Lutheran tradition, what we call the first use of the law. God gives law, first and foremost, to everybody, not just Christians, but to the whole world, to help govern and maintain order, so that we manage not to kill each other. Most of us can see that reality. Humans living in complete freedom are not, generally speaking, pagans of virtue. It's why anarchy movements tend to fail. Taking away all amount of control and order, the control of sin kicks up. Paul's words, "The very thing I hate, I do." And so we begin to be willing to trade some freedoms for the order that political life brings us. But we also see that wherever freedom exists, there are those who seek to curtail that freedom to further their own cause. We give up some, and others want to take even more. Just to be clear, it's not stuff that happens far away in uncivilized lands. It happens here, on both sides of the political spectrum. Whether the boot on your throat is left or right makes little difference. But when it comes to religion, the general thought of critics is that we cede far too much for what we get out of it. And not just for critics, but for adherents sometimes as well. The thought is that humans lose something being yoked to religion. Religion, and here Christianity in general, makes demands on us, gives us law to follow. Particular behaviors and practices are prescribed that might put us at odds with prevailing culture. And when various camps within Christianity have differing views of what is necessary, then even greater confusion is created. Is birth control acceptable? Can Christians serve as soldiers? Can we advocate for the death penalty? How do we treat those who are living in poverty? How do we handle wealth? And what does sexuality have to do with being a Christian? Pick a question, and you'll find Christians on opposite sides of every one you can find. And part of it is always going to come down to the question of freedom. Well, depending on where you stand with these issues and how the tradition in which you belong teaches can often determine how oppressive Christianity feels. But we must not confuse Jesus with the institution. The invitation that Jesus offers, that those gracious words, he offers us to yoke our lives with him. The church does indeed have a role as the center of Christ's presence in the world. But the church is not to be equated with the institution either. Various bodies find various ways to organize and to structure themselves. And none of them are the church alone. When we are baptized, we are brought into a new relationship with Jesus, who invites us to take that yoke upon us so we might learn from him, that we might, in fact, be freed from sin and all that burdens us. The submission to Christ's yoke is in itself true freedom. There will always be those who struggle for power in the earthly realm. Back and forth, people and parties, corporations, organizations, associations, always seeking power over another. And yet, Christ offers this invitation. Come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. This invitation is given as a response to John's question, are you the Messiah or aren't you? Jesus' invitation comes at the end of chapter 11, but at the beginning, John's in prison, and he sends his disciples and says, ask him. Jesus begins to unfold what he does. The blind see, the lame walk, the hungry are fed. Begins with a vision of what God's kingdom will look like. He has conversations with those, the Pharisees and the scribes, and very often the law was called a yoke. And in all of it, it seemed to be burdensome. Jesus reminds us here that he, and he alone, is the one who grants true freedom in the midst of being yoked. United with him in the waters of baptism, we are not burdened, but in fact freed. It's not one more means of oppression, but the very source of freedom. Christ tutors us in the life that God desires for us. Christ shows us grace so that we may show others grace. Christ shows us true devotion and faithfulness so that we might be devoted and faithful. Christ forgives, consoles, and admonishes so that we might do the same with others. We grow more and more in the image of Christ as we are yoked to him. Christ frees us from the burdens of following our unordered desires. We are freed to be his disciples in all areas of his life. We are not bound to follow the narrow demands of party or other association. We are freed to enter the fullness of life with Jesus. We are freed from sin and for this life of following the Messiah. Thanks be to God. Amen.